It's poverty.
It's crime.
Unemployment.
Corruption.
Accountability.
The energy crisis.
Inflation.
We are worried.
That South Africa has myriad problems on all fronts is a given. But the time has come for us to look for real solutions. I'm Jeremy Maggs, and this MoneyWeb podcast will discuss those solutions on how South Africans can solve problems by having tough conversations and drawing on the insights of South Africa's top business leaders. Welcome to Fix SA. Vern Harris runs the Nelson Mandela Foundation. Before that, worked for South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And before that, director of the South African History Archive. And I hope he's going to bring us a perspective on what we can possibly learn from the past in terms of fixing the country, particularly as we have a new government of national unity. And I'm also wondering if it isn't perhaps time to revisit some of the ideals and the principles of Nelson Mandela himself. The sense I have is maybe those have been shunted to the margins slightly. Inevitable, but that tends to happen, I guess. So, Vern Harris, a very warm welcome. Thanks for joining us. First of all, we are having this conversation on the cusp of a new political era. Let me just get a sense from you, first of all. Are you optimistic? Are you excited? Are you buoyed by this? Or do you have trepidation?
Jeremy, ambivalent. I would say upbeat because we're seeing democracy work in ways that it should. A former liberation movement being voted out of power and having to now share power and negotiating what that looks like. On the other hand, misgivings about whether this particular coalition, which, you know, and I'm using reductionist language, kind of center-right, is going to be capable of delivering what we actually need in the next 5 years.
What do you think the principal aspect of delivery needs to be? Where does the focus need to be in the short term?
In the short term, I think the task at hand is to ensure that we have a well-functioning democracy. In the longer term, and we're talking about 3-4 years down the line, is we have to find ways of redistributing wealth. And that's a trickier one, especially for a government of national unity like this.
I want to talk about wealth redistribution. I also want to get a sense of what you mean by a well-functioning democracy. But before we get there, on the sidelines of the government of national unity, we have this rather amorphous concept called the national dialogue, which a lot of civil society organizations are lending their name to. I don't see the NMF there.
Well, we're part of the conversation, but, you know, for us, it's premature to be talking about this publicly. In terms of civil society, we need to get a much better sense on what the president means by this and what the state would be willing to put behind it. And then, you know, the other consideration for us is that we're still not convinced that this is a grassroots need. It's not a call coming from community-based organizations. If anything, from our community-based constituencies, we're hearing an impatience with talk. It's time now to do the work, and it's time to deliver.
Vern, you've preempted my next question because conceptually it might be a good idea, but this country is very good at dialogues, task teams, commissions, think tanks, call it what you want. But often we tend to kick the can up the road. We spend an inordinate amount of time talking and not enough amount of time doing. And that then has an impact on fixing the problems that we have in this country.
Jeremy, you've said it very well. You know, we have extraordinary pieces of legislation, policy statements. We have a wonderful constitution, but we haven't been good at turning these things into lived realities for the people who actually need them.
So let's talk a little bit about lived reality, if we can. And I promise you, I will get back to the definition of a well-functioning democracy in just a moment. But maybe it's an opportunity for you just to reflect for us on Nelson Mandela. The emphasis in his life, and certainly as far as the foundation is concerned, is social justice and the application to address current socioeconomic inequalities in South Africa. How do you think that emphasis can be applied in the current idiom?
It's a great question, Jeremy. I think that what we need precisely now is the combination that Madiba embodied of, on the one hand, a commitment to a pragmatism, finding ways to make things work, and being committed to a long, long journey. Things can't be fixed overnight. But on the other hand, a willingness to think afresh, a willingness to be told this is not working, we have to do differently. And, you know, in the context we're in right now, I would argue those two energies, which can live side by side, become critical.
The question, of course, is how you kickstart that, because you've also referenced a growing impatience with too much talking and not enough doing.
Well, I think there are a number of key building blocks. And as I look at this new administration beginning to form, I would argue that top priority is to assemble the A-team. In other words, to ensure that you have a senior layer within the public service which is absolutely committed to the kind of transformation we now need in our society. In other words, they need to bring in activist energy, they need to be efficient, and of course they need to be not corrupt. So assembling those teams in our national departments and then lower down into the provincial governments becomes essential.
Vern, let's get back to that point that you raised about the well-functioning democracy. You wouldn't be raising that unless you thought that there were problems with the functioning of our democracy right now. What do you think is a well-functioning democracy within the South African context?
Yes, so I'm using a particular terminology, and it doesn't go very deep in terms of the kind of transformed society we need. But, you know, in simple terms, it's saying we need a democracy that delivers services, basic services. That's it.
But again, as laudable as that sounds, somewhere there's a stick in the pipes as far as that's concerned. So if you were to look at unblocking that in order to fix South Africa, is it a question of getting the right people into the position? Is it a question about funding? Is it a question about overcoming inertia, or a combination of all three, do you think?
Yeah, it has to be a combination of all three. I think it's also about a certain courage. Is that, as you alluded to a moment ago, is that some of the really difficult ones, like redistributing land, like implementing employment equity in the higher reaches of the private sector, these are difficult ones. We've kind of kicked the can down the road, and we can't afford to do that for too much longer, because, you know, levels of rage in our society are growing. So there will be, I think, a focus on, well, can you deliver services? Can you keep the lights on? Can you increase our levels of security? But then beyond that, it's, can you now fundamentally restructure our society so that we don't see these patterns that we've inherited from the colonial era, from the apartheid era, still very much in place?
Part of that, and you alluded to it a little earlier, Vernon, I'd like to explore this with you. You spoke about bringing an activist energy to the process. You're not the first person on this podcast series that has actually said that. What do you mean by an activist energy, and how do we find it again, and how do we bottle it and use it more effectively?
Again, a great question, Jeremy. You know, I'm thinking back, and I'm trying to learn lessons that I learned back in the 90s, is that one of the joys of being in the public service in the middle to late 1990s was that you saw a combination of activists coming into the public service, usually in more senior positions, and then a bureaucracy that, you know, we had inherited from the apartheid era, but compliant, head down, just going to implement whatever instructions were given. Now, in some ways, that becomes a really good combination. You want, in your public administration, the activist energy, which is, we have to change things. We have to do things differently. We have to move from where we are to another place. And then you need the expertise, the bureaucrats who can, in an efficient way, deliver once those bigger strategies and policies are put in place.
And your argument is predicated on a previous word that you used is courage. Do you think we've lost courage in that respect?
I think we have, Jeremy. I think that, you know, the public domain has become very brutal. People who put their hands up, who say the unsayable, are often taken down in ugly ways. And so in some ways, you know, choosing safety has become an option and it starts to take root. And I think, you know, our challenge, and it's at every level, it's not only, you know, when you look at the higher levels of administration, the bureaucracy and so on, at every level in our society, it's a challenge, is that it is time now for us to stand up.
And someone who did that was Nelson Mandela, of course. Where or what lessons do you think we can take from his leadership and his principles that can be used not only to foster unity in this divided society that you have just referred to, but also to start improving the basic lives of people?
Jeremy, I think the most important value, if you like, or element of inspiration for us right now in relation to Madiba is endurance, is that absolute commitment to a long walk, which, you know, might never end. In fact, in principle, we know these long walks to justice, to freedom, they never end, but it's the commitment to walking nonetheless and working with those around you, facing often challenges that are overwhelming, but you do what you have to do because doing the right thing matters, irrespective of whether you're successful or not.
Unfortunately, though, I think that we live in this microwave society right now where we want quick fixes all the time, and we just don't have the wherewithal to adopt a mindset of endurance. Do you think that we can ever recover that, or do you think that we've moved on beyond that approach that you've just outlined?
I think we can get this right. I think it's going to be a tricky balancing game, and in some ways it's similar to the balancing game that we faced in 94, is that you've got to secure some quick wins because that gives people confidence. It gives them a sense that you are able to deliver, but then you've also got to be doing that hard long-term work that will deliver maybe beyond this administration. You've got to do those two side by side. And I think if we get that right, we will build that kind of culture that you're referring to.
If it's about quick wins in terms of fixing the country right now, what would signify one or two quick wins or quick fixes that would sort of mollify us, that would make us feel that we have restarted that long walk or that need for endurance that you referred to earlier? Is it possible to find one or two examples in that respect?
Well, you know, in some ways, I already see, looking at the cabinet, one of those strong signals. We see younger people in cabinet, and that's a message to our younger people, is that actually you don't have to wait until you're 50 or 60 to get into positions of authority and power in structures of the state. That's a quick win for me already. I think another one, keep the lights on. Make sure that the country understands this was not about building up to elections and then we're back to where we started. Got to show that we're progressing. We're moving to where we need to be. Another one for me would be the state finally grasping the nettle on land. There have been many interventions, commissions of inquiry, draft legislation. It's time for the state to now stand up. We're going to do this now. We're not going to wait and wait until we're forced into doing something.
Vern, I just want to pick you up on one point, critically, if I can. You know, 50 or 60 these days is not that old, eh?
Well, in relation to Madiba, no.
Of course. One of the things that we learned from Mandela, and again, it could also apply to helping fix problems in this country, and that's this concept or commitment to a thing called servant leadership. We hear it bandied about so often, but Madiba was one person who really was emblematic in that respect. How do you start recalibrating or resetting the compass in that respect? And I guess it requires just a little bit more empathy and a little bit more understanding of opposing points of view. And we live in very impatient times now, don't we?
Yeah, I think globally that is true. The stakes seem to be a lot higher today than they were 30 years ago. I think in terms of servant leadership, though, crucial to that is dispensing with this notion of leadership as only at the apex, is that real leadership is built from below. And I think for this government of national unity, that becomes one of the critical resources, but also challenges, is that you want really good leadership at the level of directors, of chief directors. It's not only who you appoint as minister or deputy minister or director general. And so you want servants in those places, the ones who feel that the work they do is meaningful and that they are not serving their political masters, they're serving a community, they're serving society.
Do you think, Vern Harris, there is still a willing majority of people in South Africa who want to fix things? And I guess maybe the result of the election almost answers that question.
Absolutely. And, you know, if one asks oneself the question, where do you find the energy to get up tomorrow and keep doing the work, even though you're facing enormous challenges, is this deep belief that there is the energy we need in our country. We have the skills we need. It's about harnessing them now.
It's also about a change in temperament. I interacted with someone yesterday and very glibly I asked them how they were. And the reply was, I'm angry when I wake up, I'm angry in the day, and I'm angry when I go to bed at night. And that's, I think, can be applied to so many South Africans. There is a lot of anger and despair among the pockets of optimism that I think do exist. So in order to fix things, Vern, I also think that we need a national attitudinal change. And that comes from the top. I guess it comes back to the quick wins or the quick fixes that we spoke about. But is there an easy way, and this is a very philosophical question, is there an easy way of maybe dissipating the anger in this country, you know, aside from a kind of mass therapy session with all of us lying on a couch?
Well, I don't think we need mass therapy. I don't think we need, you know, mass conversations. We're needing the kind of direction that enables us in our different spaces in society to begin channeling the energies. Now, maybe I could go back to Madiba here. There is this myth about Madiba that he came out of prison without bitterness and embraced his former enemies. Anybody who got to know Madiba at all after 1990 knows that he carried a deep well of woundedness. And what he found a way to do was to channel his anger in constructive ways. And I think that's the challenge for our society now. Of course, we're angry, and there are huge wells of woundedness in our society. The challenge is, how do we, both at the individual level, but at the collective level, whether it be families or neighborhoods, how do we begin to channel that anger creatively, constructively?
I had a similar conversation with the late Archbishop Emeritus Desmond Tutu. In fact, Vern Harris, at the Nelson Mandela Foundation, one of his last appearances, I think, and he was a very old, frail man, but he still had a magnetism and an energy around him. And I remember him sitting in a window at a window space, and the light was behind him, and he almost had this symbolic halo around his head, which I thought was very apt. But I put the same question to him about the anger, and his answer was pretty much the same. He said it's something that we have to – he said there was nothing wrong with anger. There was nothing wrong with disappointment. But the fact that he said that you've got to keep working to fix it every single day. And maybe that's a good lesson from both of these icons that are sadly no longer with us.
No, well said, Jeremy. And I think that's another – lesson that we have learned from Madiba. It's a slightly different language, is that, you know, it's not about avoiding failure. whether we're talking about an individual or about our society as a whole, it's about what you do with failure. And there have been many failures over the last 30 years, but you can turn failure into a journey of discovery. And I think, you know, this is the challenge right now. And it's why I feel energized by what's happened in the last month, is that I think we've been given another opportunity, another platform on which to demonstrate that all these failures can be turned into a very extraordinary journey if we commit to learning the lessons and then doing differently moving forward.
Vern, I wouldn't be doing my job responsibly if I didn't put a question to you about the business community. This podcast appears on a platform that the business community reads. We know that the corporate sector in South Africa is very good at criticism, at talking up a storm, but often guilty of inaction and inertia, with obvious exceptions. But what role do you think the business community has to play in the bigger South African fix?
Yes, I think, you know, if you do the analysis, you have to say that for too long, the private sector has been the driver of white supremacy, and that has to change. And so it is a question, and we have deep partnerships with corporates here in South Africa, and that becomes the conversation, is how does the private sector become the driver of transformation? What does that look like in practice? And that's a beautiful line of inquiry, but it also becomes a space in which, you know, meaningful work can be done. What we've discovered, Jeremy, and I mean, what has given me most energy over the last 3 to 5 years has been the work we've done in the early childhood development space, where we've worked with the private sector, we've worked with the state, and we've worked with other civil society structures to do differently. The private sector can be an energy for change.
So maybe a final question then, stemming from that. The foundation is also a proponent of a culture of active citizenship, which is something that Nelson Mandela also envisaged. How do you kickstart that, do you think? Because once you get that right, once the momentum is achieved, I guess the fix might come a whole lot earlier.
I think the question is a little bit different, Jeremy. There's a lot of active citizenship in our country. If you look at community-based protest action, it's happening all over our country. The challenge really is how to turn that form of active citizenship into something far more focused, far more connected one to the other, and elevate it to a level where it's making a difference and it's being heard and it's being drawn into partnership with the state, with the private sector, with power, in other words. It's too fragmented now.
Vern Harris, I hope this conversation, to use your words, does make a difference. I really do appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for joining us. From the Nelson Mandela Foundation, Vern Harris, I'm Jeremy Maggs. Thanks for listening to this Fix SA podcast. For more episodes posted every second Friday, go to moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, Apple Podcasts and Spotify, or follow MoneyWeb News on social media for more updates. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.